Hello, is this the illustrious, the talented Mr. Brian Murphy?
Yes, it is.
Well, Brian, hello, sir. I want to welcome you to Progressive News Network. Brian, you know, I've invited you because I've seen you perform so many times. I know that you work with some of the best musicians, not only in this town, but around the world. I want to ask you, when did you get started in music? What were the influences in your childhood that brought you to music? When did you start getting interested?
Well, the thing is that my folks, they played together in an orchestra before they were married. My mom played piano, and my dad played alto saxophone. And when I was a child, there was always music in the house. And I was born with the gift of what's called absolute or perfect pitch.
Wow.
And so I was able to, from a very early age, really be able to appreciate music and enjoy it. And it became, as I say, I didn't choose music, it chose me. That's what I would say about that.
That's a nice phrase. That's a nice phrase. You know, there's a, to me, there's always a, you know, a wonder in how, you know, people are brought to the things that they do in life and in their art. And so let me ask you this. Your parents, you say, both played in an orchestra. What kind of music were they playing, and where were they playing it?
They were playing, I'm originally from Canada, and they were playing in Canada.
Ah.
And they were playing popular music of the time, mostly swing music, I would say.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Toronto, Ottawa, where?
I was actually born in Grand Falls in Newfoundland, which is
the
easternmost province in Canada.
My goodness, out there.
Been here for about 20 years now.
Almost used to it, huh?
I can't tell from one week to the next what time of the year is it. It's because the weather is always the same, pretty much.
Well, that's a pretty fair answer. Well, let me ask you this. When did you start your formal training? Was it with your mother, or did you get private lessons?
I took lessons when I was a child from the Presentation Sisters. However, I would say that I'm basically an autodidact.
No kidding.
Yeah, when I went to high school, there wasn't anybody to teach me, and I proceeded to study from books and other sources. And I've had a few teachers in my life. When I was in Toronto, I studied with I got a Canada Council grant, and I studied with Doug Riley, who's a great Canadian pianist and composer. And then there were some other people that influenced me when I was there. Guido Basso, who's a tremendous trumpet player.
Uh-huh.
And Bob Harriott, who's another trumpet player, who had an orchestra I was in when I was there, and various and other different people.
Let me ask you this. When you were young and you were just, you know, beginning your musical studies, were you more enamored of pop music or jazz or classical?
I played a lot of pop music.
Uh-huh.
At the beginning, a lot of pop and rock, but when I was a teenager, I got very much interested in jazz music, and one of the reasons for that was I had a high school music teacher who was named Raymond Elward, who was he had studied in Boston, and he had heard Dave Brubeck and he had heard Bill Evans.
Wow!
And so he brought in some records to the school and played them, and so I was very affected by these sounds that I heard.
I bet. That's some pretty heady stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, let's pick this out on the piano now as we listen to Bill Evans.
Yeah.
Wow.
For sure.
That's great. And so you've been influenced primarily, you'd say, maybe by pop and jazz?
And some classical music as well. I love Ravel. Ravel is my favorite.
Ravel. Oh, neat stuff. So you have a taste for some of that minimalist stuff too then, huh?
Oh, yeah. And, I've dabbled in the avant-garde as well. Some of the music that I provided you with today is more...
Oh, neat. Well, you know what?
From that kind of thing.
I will take that as a sound cue, sir. And let me ask you this. Which tune would you like to hear first?
I think that I'd like to hear the piece. It's called Any Questions.
Any Questions, okay.
Any Questions.
Here
That's
we
solo
go.
Piano.
That's an interesting piece. You know, Brian, of all the players I've interviewed so far, I think you're the first one that's taken us in an avant-garde direction, and I want to thank you for that. My own tastes go well into the avant-garde side of things, Sun Ra.
That's beautiful.
And Ornette, and John Cage's prepared piano. So I thought that was very interesting. Like, I'd ask you a question about that. Do you think of music, whether that or a more, should we say, more melodic piece, do you think of it as a narrative line, or is it an experimental journey that you're exploring and discovering?
Well, the thing is, when I'm involved in, with a piece of music, I try to clear my mind and not have any preconceived ideas of what's going to happen, how it's going to go. And I work with a singer here in town named Maria Rivas, and she likes to refer to my approach, to the way that I improvise, the way that I make music, as painting landscapes.
Nice.
So
nice.
I like that, creating landscapes, and it's the idea of if you close your eyes, you should get, and everybody has something different that they will visualize, but you get some kind of perspective, some kind of an image in your mind's eye when you hear this music. And I like to try to keep it fresh, and I'm not so keen on scales and patterns and things like that in improvisation, because to me they're very preconceived and they kind of take you in a certain direction that I'm want to say that I'm not
outside
my choice.
Those boxes, yeah.
Not my choice to do that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'd rather that things just unfold as they do. And this is part of the creative process, the idea that you're supposed to learn the rules, and once you know them, then you can break them.
Right, right. That's a wise concept. I've heard that before. Well, let me ask you this. The piece, Any Questions,
It's a kind of a tribute to Cecil Taylor. Yeah, so that's what I was going for when I came up. I did some recording years ago of solo pieces that I did tributes to all kinds of different pianists, different things, and I created music, most of it improvised, with keeping that particular person in mind, the way they influenced me, the sound that I heard that they made, the ways. From that, I just created a number of different pieces, and there's another solo piano piece there that's I again improvised, and this is a piece for Jackie Byard.
Yes. Is it called Copains?
Yes.
Copains
for
Jackie Byard.
French for friends.
See, okay.
Yeah.
Should we hear that now?
Yes, please.
Very nice.
If you've
Very
ever
nice.
Heard Jackie Byard play,
uh-huh.
He combines the style of Fats Waller with the 20th century modern composition.
Uh-huh. Very
and,
nice.
And so I was trying to capture that when I did that piece.
Oh, it's very beautiful. Very beautiful.
Well,
it evokes
you, Rick.
A very nice mood, I think.
God, yeah. Excellent.
So let me ask you this. When everybody was playing hard rock and acid rock and all that stuff, what kind of music were you making in the 70s and 80s, early 80s?
Well, I started to listen to Chick Corea, Return of Forever, Weather Report, Keith Jarrett, and of course my favorites, Paul Bley, one of my very favorite pianists, and Steve Kuhn. A number of different people, Richie Bayrak, there's lots of people I listened to. I didn't go to music school. I studied on my own.
And listened
and took in the music from a lot of recordings that I acquired, that I had at the time. And there's something to be said for music. To me, is really about more using your ears than it is about using your brain.
I understand.
So that you hear it and you're affected by it. And then you respond to what you're hearing rather than to take it in a kind of cold and calculated fashion and try and dissect it and take it apart.
So let me ask you this. When you were in your first groups, I guess, was this still in when you were in high school? And
yeah, I played a bunch of different rock bands when I was a kid. And the first one, we rehearsed for 2 weeks and played once for a wedding.
So which of those old rinky-dink electric pianos did you have, sir?
The first band I ever played in, I played electric bass.
Oh, no kidding.
I didn't have a keyboard, so my cousin had an electric bass and an amp, and I borrowed them.
And I played
the bass, yeah. And then in the bands I played in, we had a bass player at the beginning, but he opted out of the band, so I continued playing the bass. I had an organ, a keyboard that had a split. It had separate outputs for the main sound and also for the bass, which was a couple of octaves in the left hand.
Right.
And so I could run through two different amplifiers. And so I played the bass like the Doors.
Sure.
Yeah, and I did that for a few years. And then I bought a Hammond organ and I played pedals.
Oh my goodness, Hammond B3. Good God. Yeah. What an instrument, huh?
Oh yeah.
There's so much good jazz on that.
Oh yeah, matter of fact, I got something coming up. A friend of mine is coming down from Canada, and he wants to book some studio time, and I'm still working on getting a place, and we're going to record just Hammond organ and drums.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, in the next month or so. We're hoping that's going
to
happen. Yeah.
After that happens, you have to share some of those tracks with us. I'm sure we'll really
enjoy
it.
Definitely.
Okay, now, as you... You get married. Were you working up in Canada, or how did that all work?
I was in Halifax, Nova Scotia when I met my wife, and we moved together to Toronto, and then we moved. Actually, she came here first. We first were in Key West.
Oh,
we were
wow.
there for about 4 years, and then we came north to Miami Beach, where we are at present.
Is she a musician also?
Yeah, she's a wonderful singer.
Oh, neat.
Tremendous singer. Her name is Donna Blue MacDonald.
Ah, how nice.
And she's a tremendous singer. She also writes poetry, and she does photography. And
wonderful.
Yeah, a number of different things, but she's definitely an artist.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
No doubt about that.
So what else would you like to hear? Sir, I see you've been doing some work with Tito Puente.
I met him in, I was in Toronto in 1989. I played a performance. We had a local band there called Banda Brava, I think the name of the band was. Tito came up from New York and brought his right-hand man with him, Jimmy Frisera, who played trumpet, and Jimmy conducted the band. And we played a concert at a place in Toronto called Berlin. And while we were rehearsing on the intermission, at the rehearsal, Tito came over to me and said, "I want you to write me some arrangements for my next record." Just
oh,
like that.
Nice.
Out of the blue. And I said, "Gulp." Sure. And I did that, and I was in Charlottetown in Prince Edward Island doing summer shows in that year, and I wrote these arrangements, and they were recorded in the next month or so, next couple of months in San Francisco. And as a matter of fact, the first track there is called Aerogen. I did that arrangement for Tito, and he did well over 100 albums. And that's the track that was chosen that's in the Smithsonian.
No kidding.
Yeah, that track, and I'm very proud of that.
I can imagine you'd be simultaneously scared to death and thrilled.
Yeah, I'm very proud of that one.
That's
and I did
awesome.
Five records with him. I did a whole lot of arrangements for him.
Let me ask you this. When he asked you that, did he give you some tunes to work on, or did you make some selections and suggest them to him?
As I recall, I think he picked the tunes, and I think we were in contact on the phone and stuff. And
So he told you the voicings you'd be needing to write for?
A lot of times he said he wasn't sure how many horns he was going to have, so you end up writing a lot of unison. for the horn parts, because you don't know if you're going to have two horns, you're going to have five horns. And so it can be awkward, or it can sound, a Latin band, that kind of stuff can sound really strong when you have a whole bunch of horn players playing the same line. It can be quite powerful.
Well, you know, Miami has had some really absolutely amazing Latin orchestral music in it, and there's been so much just beautiful stuff done. Which one would you like to hear? Aragon first?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
great. This is Brian Murphy's arrangement of Aragon for the Tito Puente Grant Band. Thank you. Wow. That was excellent. I noticed you didn't cut the pianist much slack.
Nope.
Wow, that was great. That was awesome. Evidently, Mr. Puente saw that you had a real feel for the Latin idiom. That's marvelous.
Well, I listened, before I was working with his music. I've had so many influences and so many different people. There's a keyboardist who's most well known for his work on a television show, Miami Vice, and his name is Jan Hammer.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But I listened to his. He played a lot with Elvin Jones when he was very young.
Uh-huh.
Made a bunch of recordings, and he had quite a good. And same as Chick Corea, they both had a very good feel for playing Latin music.
Uh-huh.
And I think I was affected by that when I heard these guys playing and their use of playing over the bar line and various syncopation and syncopated rhythms and lines and stuff like that.
Let me ask you this: when I can imagine now, when it came to Tito's break, did you just say, "Here, do your thing," then we pick back up, or did you actually write something there too?
Oh no, most of the stuff, the rhythm section, the drum parts are not written.
Okay.
They had a rhythm sheet with all the accents and all the different and of course the bass parts written, the horn parts are all written.
Sure.
And a lot of the piano stuff is written too. But sometimes when you're comping, when someone is improvising, you just have chord symbols and you know if you're in that style, you know what to play.
Right.
You know if you want to keep that job, you know. You know what to do, and you do it splendidly, and you're the cushion that the other guys ride on top of.
Wow, that's some really nice stuff. But, you know, I've seen you in so many different idioms. You know, I've seen you do some pop stuff with Joe Donato. I've seen you play some very hard bop. I've seen you play some wonderful standards. Direct us in another direction just for a taste. What next tune would you like to hear, sir?
I think that I'd like to hear. I did a couple of trio pieces, and one of them is called Little Bird. And this is more of a Brazilian kind of a feeling.
Now you're talking to a guy who spends half every day listening to samba, so this is going to be easy on my ears. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And who's the ensemble?
This is a trio with Einar Schevering, who was here at the time. He was at the University of Miami, and he was the drummer in Ira Sullivan's Intercontinental Quintet. And Don Miller is playing bass, and he was also in Ira's group as well. So we were the rhythm section in Ira's band at that time, and so we did some recording. And here's a little taste of that.
Okay, here we go. Little Bird. Thank you. Very lovely. Very lovely. Who was on the organ?
Me.
You were playing both keyboard, piano and organ?
Piano and organ, yeah.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice, sir. Very nice.
Yeah, I wrote an arrangement of that years ago when I was in Canada, and I had, when I was again doing the summertime shows, and we had a concert where it was a fundraiser, and I wrote the string parts for the orchestra to play in that, and it came out quite nicely.
Very nice. Wow, what a lovely feel to that. I see you've included some pop tunes in here, just for a real change of pace. How do you feel about It Makes Someone Happy?
Well, that's really a show tune, I'd say, from a live performance that I did years ago, and there's going to be a recording coming out of that, but that's with Ira Sullivan and rhythm section. It's quite a nice rendition of it.
Well, I believe that, sir, considering what else we've been hearing the last little while. Okay, so Make Someone Happy, Brian Murphy. Was a lovely piece.
That was an extract from the piece. Is quite long, about 12, 14 minutes long.
Beautiful. Who was the, was that Ira?
Yeah.
Very, very nice. And, you know, I meant to mention in that that last one we heard, that was a very tasty bass. You said Don?
Don Miller.
Boy, that
yeah,
was...
Yeah, Don's up in New York now. He was here for a long time.
It was very tasty stuff. And, oh, by the way, the keyboard player is pretty good, too. Oh, that was excellent. That was really excellent. You know, and it was funny. I saw that dinner make someone happy, and I'm thinking of, you know, all the pop renditions going through my head, and that was very nice. Very nice bop tempo to it, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the one we like to do.
Yeah. I've had the pleasure of doing some recording with the Maestro Sullivan, and in one session he would do some classical, and then he would just burning up some bop, man. Just absolutely burning up some bop.
Yeah, well, he told me that that he was recording, and he did it, and then the guy wanted to do a second take.
Oh.
And he says, so what? Now you expect me to rehearse my spontaneity?
There was a recording label called Spinster Records at one point in time back in the 80s. And I was hired to be the senior mixing engineer for, and it was Ira and Tony Castellano, and I think Jack Ciano, and Jeff Carswell on bass, and they were just exquisite. It was just, I mean, it was achingly beautiful, right?
Mm-hmm.
And during the first break, the woman who's paying for the tracks comes in to me and she goes, "This is not what I wanted them to play. I want them to play Satin Doll." And I said, "Excuse me, ma'am. You know, I realize you're paying for the sessions." I said, "But you have to understand, you are just fortunate to hire musicians of this caliber. You know, if you don't like what they're doing, it's not them, okay?" But so Brian, you know, you've played with quite a few ensembles. What were some of the more memorable sessions you had? I would obviously think that Tito is pretty high up on that list.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And in the summer of 1993, I went and touring with Rob McConnell and the Boss Brass. That was a pretty special thing.
Wow.
We went over to Europe and played the in Imatra, Finland. It was a big band festival, and if you're not familiar with the Boss Brass, one of the greatest big bands ever have existed.
The name's familiar. Great. I can't place any recordings in my little brain.
Great band. And also I first met Ira in Key West in 1996. We were at the Captain Hornblower's Jazz Club, and that was, for me, very, very special meeting, and we've had lots of wonderful opportunities. We're going to be at Blue Jean Blues later on at the last Wednesday in October, and there's so many things. I did a couple of recordings. I'm in the South Florida Jazz Orchestra, led by great bassist Chuck Bergeron.
Sure.
And we've done a couple of recordings. We had Arturo Sandoval on the first one. And on the second one, we had Wayne Bergeron, who's a top-notch Los Angeles session horn trumpet player. And the second record was called Trumpet Summit. And we have all kinds of great trumpet players on that and some great arrangements. And these things stand out to me as being very special. I did a couple of years ago, I did a two-piano concert at the Steinway Gallery in Miami with Mike Gerber.
Wow.
Familiar with Mike Gerber?
Yeah, I know Mike.
Yeah, and that was very special. We're hoping to do some more of those.
That must be such an interesting experience, two jazz pianists, you know. How do you prepare for that? Do you talk about
the
tunes?
We did not prepare at all. We just picked some tunes. We just picked some tunes and started in. And that was it, because we, of course, both right away could hear what key you're in.
Sure, sure.
And
I'm sure you're both gracious enough to provide a little air for the other fellow to catch an updraft,
so
to speak.
That was very special. And
wow.
I've done So I'm just trying to think of the different things that I've been doing.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a minute to think. What's next, sir? It's getting better, small hotel, Thor's hammer. You pick, sir. It's up to you now.
What time we have left?
Well, we've got about 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. Let's play It's Getting Better.
It's Getting Better. Okay, sounds good. You want to set this up?
This is from a Don Miller recording session. This is Don, and I think the drummer is Reggie Smith, and Ira, and me.
Okay, great. It's Getting Better. Wow, now that was some keyboard, my friend. That was awesome.
You like that, huh?
Oh, I thought that was smoking, man. You really jumped out on that one. Wow.
It's a little kind of an Oscar Peterson sort of a thing.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, I want to say, too, that was recorded. Did you ever met Nick Funk?
Nick Funk.
He lives in Fort Lauderdale. He's not there anymore. But anyway, Nick had a studio.
Uh-huh.
And this is where we did... Little Bird was recorded there, Thor's Hammer, and this one, and the next one too. There's a small hotel that was recorded. That was a group called the Funkadera All Stars with Turk Morrow, Duffy Jackson, Don Miller playing bass again, and me, and Randall Dallahan did a couple of tunes, but he's not on this tune.
That's next.
There's a small hotel, yeah.
Okie dokie.
And again, that's just a short... These are just snippets of the pieces are long, so most of them have been edited.
Okay, well...
Good time.
I'll tell you, I have said before to you, my friend, that you are not fully appreciated yet, so we have to do something we can do about that. This is some great stuff. Here we go.
Glad to hear it.
Thank you. I cut that short. Very tasty, my friend. Very tasty. And listen, I want to thank you so much. We have time for one more tune to go out on. But I want to thank you, Brian Murphy, for the incredible keyboard work that you do. And, man, I wish you every success. And keep up the damn good work, buddy.
I'd like to thank you, too, Rick, for having me on your show. I really appreciate that, sincerely.
My pleasure,
and,
sir.
And I'd just like to say that anybody who wants to find me, I'm at Brian M. Murphy on Facebook, brianmurphymusic.com, brianmurphypiano at Twitter, and if there are any supporters out there, they can get in touch with me through my website.
So, Brian, what are we going out with?
I think Thor's Hammer. This is a long piece, so it's going to be a fade, I guess. And this is recorded at Nick Funk Studio as well. The interesting thing about this piece is that the day we recorded it, Thor's Hammer, Thor being the god of thunder.
Right, right, right.
Thor's Hammer is a piece I've written, and with no preconceived notion that this would happen, as we were recording, it rained and it thundered like crazy, and the engineer had the foresight to stick a microphone outside, and so you can actually hear the thunder on the recording as we're playing.
So did you give the universe credit?
Oh yeah, in a big way, big time.
Okay, thank you so much, my friend. And here
thank
we go.
Thank you so much, Rick.
Oh, you're very welcome, sir. Thor's Hammer, Brian Murphy. Here we go. Thank you. Well, thank you again, Brian. It's been wonderful, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Rick.
You take
care. It's been a real pleasure.
Okay, man. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye for now.